some of the things that we've talked about already. And there are four principles that's just pretty true in nature, and they're pretty true in human nature. And usually the natural things that happen in the world also reflects things that happen in human nature. And, you know, basically by human nature, and I'm talking about fallen human nature, and even sometimes unrenewed, redeemed people, we have a tendency to fall into these categories. And one of the reasons that many Christians struggle has to do with one or more of these four things. And we've already talked about these. We talked about the law of entropy. Remember that? Things left unattended tend towards chaos. We talked about planting a garden. You can till a garden, you can fertilize it, you can put the seed in the ground. And that's much like becoming a Christian. When you become a Christian, God takes the sin out of your life. He breaks up the fallow ground of your heart. He gives you a tender heart. He even puts the seed of His Word in there. But if that is, even if that is left unattended, it'll go towards chaos. Because we have a responsibility and we have a stewardship as believers to take charge of our spiritual lives. There's a theology out there that I just detest. And if this is your theology, I detest it. And I want to change it if I can. That everything that happens, happens by God's design. I do not believe that. In a perfect world, that might be true. But folks, we do not live in a perfect world. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world where we have an enemy, and his name is Satan. Did you know that Satan is your enemy? Satan is your enemy. He's not your friend. He comes to do three things. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus says that I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. If it's life-giving, it's God. If it's death, destruction, and stealing, it's not God, and it doesn't come from God. So don't say that everything that happens in my life is designed by God. No, it's not. Sometimes it's because we neglect things that we're supposed to take charge of. Even though you could not save yourself, and you can't. You can't earn your salvation. You can't work to keep it. Okay? It's a grace is a free gift. Salvation is a free gift. Righteousness is a free gift. And I'm preaching like a Baptist, and I've never been one. But all of those things are a free gift, and you don't earn it. There's nothing about earning anything with God that you can do. It's just impossible. You cannot do enough good stuff to merit the blessing of God. It's a free gift. But He does give us the responsibility to be stewards of our spiritual life. And if you leave your spiritual life unattended, now how do we do that? Sometimes we're not faithful in talking to God in our prayer life. We don't ever read our Bibles. We don't put the Word of God in our hearts. We get lackadaisical about attending church, about fellowshipping, about doing positive things that we know that we're supposed to do. That's our part of managing, not of earning, but of managing. You are a manager of your spiritual life. God has given you that responsibility. It's up to you to do that. If you leave that unattended, guess what? Weeds will pop up in your life. You will go towards chaos every time. You have to take charge. Making Jesus Lord, what happens is, before you make Jesus Lord, you're not in control of your life. Sin is. When He comes in, He breaks the power of sin, but He turns around and says, okay, you're free from this. Now, here, manage this, and I'll guide you. But if you do nothing, it goes towards chaos. That's the law of entropy. Then we talked about the law of cause and effect. The law of cause and effect says everything happens for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. Good or bad. There's always a cause behind it. And it's not always God. Like I said a while ago, if it's bad, guess where it comes from? See, the Bible says that every good and every perfect gift comes from God. The bad stuff don't come from God. That comes because we've neglected something. we didn't do something, or we did do something that we shouldn't have done. It's called the law of cause and effect. It's not God punishing you. It's not. God is not judging you. God is not punishing you. But it is the law of seed time and harvest. If you plant tomatoes, you get tomatoes. If you plant sin, guess what? You get the results of the thing that you plant. What we need to learn how to do is to plant the good stuff so that we can have the blessing. God wants to bless you. Turn at your neighbor and say, God wants to bless you. Turn the other way and say that to your other neighbor. God wants to bless you. He really does. He wants to bless you. But the blessing that's going to come to you is going to come through you. You know, you don't do everything for your kids. You teach them how to do things because guess what? They learn from it and they develop in their character. And when God starts blessing us, He instructs us, and as we start doing that, it starts opening avenues of blessing to us, but it's God working through us. And that's something that we need to realize, that we need to take charge of our spiritual lives because the law of cause and effect is at work. Then the third one we talked about is the law of hysteresis. We used the illustration in the first service. I started talking about diets, but that got on my toes. But how many of you ever worked out on weights? Some of you work out on weights and you work out and you work. Back when I got out of high school, my girlfriend broke up with me and broke my heart. So I thought, it's because I'm a wimp. So I started working out on weights and I built up some muscles and I was, you know, she didn't still come back with me, thank God. I met the right one after that. But I was pumping iron. You know, and as long as you pump iron and you do the right things, see, you get a vision of something, you get a revelation of something, and you start doing something. But if for some reason you get distracted, you know, you meet a girl and you quit working out, or you meet the right guy and you quit trying to lose weight, and then you do that, or whatever, what happens is that when the pressure of doing something right, we have a tendency to go back to our old way of living. And it's just like a lot of times when we hear the Word, we'll hear the Word and we'll apply it to our lives and it begins to change us. And then all of a sudden we get to thinking, well, you know, I'm doing pretty good. I don't need to pray like I did. I don't need to read like I did. I don't need to attend church like I did because everything's pretty good. And guess what the tendency is for us to drift and get away from that, and we return to, and habits creep back into our lives, and we're defeated. And that happens a whole lot with Christians because they don't continue to do the things that they ought to do. Being a Christian is a whole lot like swimming up a stream. You know, if you get in a stream of water and you do nothing, the current of that stream drags you down. It pulls you downstream. To go backwards, you don't have to do anything. But to go against the stream, which Christianity is against the stream of natural human nature, it's against the stream of what's happening in the world, you have to be stroking all the time. Being a Christian, it's easy to become a Christian, but it's a little bit more challenging to live an overcoming Christian life. And this is where we need to take charge of our lives, and we need to be stroking and find out how to stroke and swim up the stream. But if you quit, guess what? The current drags you right back down the stream. We have a tendency to return to the old way of life if we're not careful. And then the last law that we talked about is the law of motion. And basically this says that your life may be going in a direction that's bad. And if you do nothing, it'll continue to go in that direction. For something to turn that around, it has to meet an equal and more powerful force, and that is the force of faith. Faith will turn your life around. Let me give you a testimony. When I first became a Christian, I got a hold of what's called the faith message. And it has absolutely transformed my life. The life of faith. And so, And it will yours too. Your life may be going in a bad direction, negative things happening, but the force of faith can stop that momentum and actually cause your life to turn around and go in a different direction. Is it easy? No. There's nothing easy about it. Have you ever noticed that there's nothing easy about good stuff? There's nothing easy about getting a PhD. There's nothing easy about getting any kind of degree. There's nothing easy about bodybuilding. There's nothing easy about losing weight. There's nothing easy about any of these kind of things. But thank God, the faith life is the best life, even though it's challenging sometimes, but it is the most rewarding life. There's blessing in it, but there is effort. You have to put out an effort in order to do things, like swimming up the stream. So that's the law of motion. Now, today, we talked about some other things, but I don't have time to get into those. Today, we're going to talk about two laws that has to do with the formation of our faith. One is called the law of expectation. Go with me to Psalms chapter 37 and verse 23. If you got your Bibles, how many of you brought your Bibles today? Flip over there with me. I brought mine. But I got the scripture written on my paper here. I don't have to flip. But I got to wait on you. Hurry up. Okay, Psalms 37:23. It says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." The law of expectation is what we want to talk about. Here is what the law of expectation says. What you expect in your heart with conviction becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Your steps are ordered by your expectation. Now, some people read this scripture and it says the steps of a righteous man or a good man are ordered by the Lord. That means that every step they take is ordered by the Lord. That's not what that's saying. God, remember we talked about God working through you? Righteousness puts you in a place to hear from God. The Word of God in your heart begins to change the way that you think. Let me say this. If you never put the Word of God in your heart, the Holy Spirit doesn't have anything to work on to guide you. I want you to think about that a minute. If you never put the Word of God in your heart, the Holy Spirit never has anything in your life that He can work with. See, King David says, "Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." If you don't have God's word in your heart, you're going to sin against God. You put His word in your heart, He begins to direct your steps through that word. The Holy Spirit has something to work with, and He can speak to you and tell you, "Don't go over there, go this way. Do this and you'll prosper. Do this and you'll be blessed." The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Now that's just not an automatic thing. It's automatically available to you, but if you don't put the word in you to change the way that you think. And we said that the law of expectation says, what you expect in your heart with conviction becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you see yourself, if you're convinced that you're a loser, guess what level you're going to go to? You're going to go to the loser level. If you see yourself as a failure, and you confidently know in your heart that you're a failure, guess what? You're going to rise to that. You're going to rise or fall to that level. But what if you begin to see yourself as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? What if you begin to see yourself as someone who has the same righteousness that Jesus Christ has? And you believe that with confidence. Because let me tell you, if you're a Christian, that is your righteousness. Can I say this to you? You do not earn righteousness. It is a free gift. It was paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. You have a relationship with God because of the blood of Jesus Christ, and He has given you a gift called righteousness, and it is His righteousness. think, I don't know if I believe that or not. Guess what? You won't walk in it. But if you begin to believe that with confidence in your heart, your expectation will rise and your action will rise to that level. And guess what? You won't find yourself sinning against God. You'll find your steps being ordered by the Lord. Because the law of expectation, it has to do with your thought life. You have to change the way that you think. Do you know what repentance is? Repentance is not saying I'm sorry. It's changing the way that you think. Because what you think in abundance is what you'll begin to do. If you want to change your life, you have to change the way that you think. And if you're going to produce eternal things in your life, you have to think God's Word. God's Word will produce eternal things. Now, natural people can take spiritual principles and they can be blessed in the physical realm. There's a lot of people that are using spiritual principles like giving and receiving. And they're heathens. But they have learned about giving and receiving and it works for them. But you know what? It doesn't produce anything of eternity. Eternity starts with a relationship with God. And as then you put the Word in your heart and you renew your mind and your faith level begins to rise, you begin to produce things that will produce eternal things. Even the physical prosperity that you walk in and live in, you'll find ways of giving that will produce eternal things. I think that us sowing into Luke 4:18 is going to produce some eternal results because lives are being changed by that ministry. Okay? That's what I'm talking about. You will produce eternal results because you have a relationship with God. You're blessed by God. You sow that way and it begins to expand the kingdom of God. Your character begins to change because you begin to think different. Your expectation level rises. You begin to believe different about yourself. And you begin in your actions to rise to that level. And this is going to open the door for the next law that we're going to talk about called the law of attraction. The law of attraction. As you begin to prosper. See, 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." What is your soul? It's your mind, it's your thought processes, it's your will, and it's your emotions. That's your soul. Your spirit is already prosperous if you know Jesus is Lord. How much more prosperous can you get than the righteousness of God in Him? It's your stinking thinking that messes you up. Sometimes we need a checkup from the neck up to avoid hardening of the attitudes and stinking thinking. We do. We get into stinking thinking and we get into stinking acting. Okay. Okay, Jose. Turn, look at your neighbor. Say, is he talking about you now? Ooh, baby. Say, oh, baby, he's talking about you. But what you believe in your heart with confidence becomes your reality. Everything manifests by what we believe. And you will manifest abundance, and that's spirit, soul, and body, out here, in here and out here, or scarcity, in here and out here. You know what? If you got scarcity out here, it's because you've got scarcity in here. If you'll change the way that you think, it'll change the way that you act. And it'll attract to you, this is the law of attraction, it'll attract to you the things that you need on the level that you live. Now, there's a book that came out a few years ago called The Secret. I have not read The Secret. Some of you may have read The Secret. But The Secret is based on the law of attraction. You say, well, that sounds like a New Age concept. Well, let me say this. The New Age, we're not mocking, we're not, anything in the New Age that has any reality about it is a perversion of a spiritual truth. Okay? Somebody says, well, that sounds like Christian Science. Well, you know, Christian Science took spiritual principles and just went this way with them. You can take any principle. You know, the devil does not create anything. The devil perverts things. The devil perverts things. He does not come up with revelation. But he takes things. Let me tell you something about the devil. He knows the Bible better than you do. If knowledge alone was enough, the devil would be a spiritual giant. But he's a spiritual cripple. But he knows more Bible than you do. Okay? See, it's not... potential is released out of character, not knowledge. We've said that a few times before. So the law of attraction that the secret talks about, and I'm not trying to down the secret. There's a lot of people that were helped by it. But I want to give you the right application. And the law of attraction says this. It says that you attract unto yourself people, ideals, and resources according to your most dominant thoughts. Now let me give you some scripture. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. 2 Corinthians 9:8. Let's look at this verse of scripture. I'm not talking about something in the natural. I'm talking about something that is totally spiritual. It's totally the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace. Everybody say grace. Grace is unmerited favor. Okay? All grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, have an abundance for every good work. Okay? So the law of attraction says this. You attract to yourself people, ideals, and resources according to your most dominant thoughts. Let's say that we think the Word of God. We've talked about this. What is the only thing that will really make eternal changes in your life? It's God's Word. It's not human philosophy. It's not New Age philosophy. It's not enlightened thinking. It's not Scientology. Has anybody seen those Scientology ads on TV? Man, those are some awesome ads. I don't know if you've seen those or not, but those... And I see those and I think, man, those are pretty awesome ads. A little bit deceptive. Scientology is not the way. Jesus is the way. There's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. But God's Word is the only thing that can change us eternally. And it will produce eternity in us. But we have got to learn to think God's thoughts. And the only way that you can think God's thoughts is to take His Word and renew your mind with it. You have to have a metamorphosis of your mind. You have to have a changing of your mind that takes place with a relationship of the Word of God. And what begins to happen as you do that, you begin to see yourself different than you've ever seen yourself. You'll begin to rise to that level. It's not what you know, it's what you do with what you know that makes you grow. So it's not only hearing the Word of God, understanding the Word of God. As you begin to do it, your expectation begins to rise, and the law of attraction says that you will attract to yourself people, ideals, and resources that will cause you to maintain and grow in that level. Now we need revelation. We need understanding. That comes from the Word of God. We made a decision a few years ago that we're going to grow a church here. That I looked at some things and thought, okay, we're stuck in a rut. I have not changed anything that I believe about God. I still believe faith. I still believe everything that I've ever believed. But I began to change some of my methods in thinking about the way that you do church. I began to to expand that, and I began to surround myself with people that thought different. And guess what? As we begin to change the way that we think about certain things, people begin to be attracted to that level. It's called the law of attraction. The law of attraction. And God begins to grow the church by that very law. And we will attract to ourselves people, ideals, and resources that will cause us to continue to grow and be what we need to be. We've got an assignment from God as a church. I'll say that again. We, as a church, we have an assignment for the kingdom of God. We're not building a name for me. We're not building the name of Believers Community Church. We are to make a difference in this community, and it's for the kingdom of God. And I believe that as we begin to change the way that we think through the Word, that God is going to give us ideals. He's going to bring people in to help us do the things that we need to do. It's called the law of attraction. I believe that people can be attracted to the kingdom of God. I think there's some hungry people out there. I think there's some searching people. I think there's some hurting people out there when they see that there's life. That there is a life-giving church in this town. That they're going to say, you know what? I'm attracted to that. I believe that's the law of attraction and working. You can be religious. You can be judgmental. You can be sanctimonious. And it will be the law of repelling. You can repel people. Or you will only attract people that have the same mindset that you do. I want this to be a place of freedom. I want this to be a place of worship. I want Methodists and Baptists and Church of Christ and Catholics and anybody I don't care what your background is. I want a place that you can come and worship, and we're not all hung up about who's right and who's wrong. We're hung up about, is Jesus Lord? And we're worshiping Him. And yes, a Calvinist and an Arminian can worship in the same service. Had a fellow tell me one time, said, I couldn't have communion with you because you don't believe like I do. Well, he didn't know what I believed because I didn't tell him. But unless you dotted the I's and crossed the T's, you couldn't have communion with him. Well, that's kind of a judgmental attitude, isn't it? You know what? I'm glad it's not my job to judge Jason. It's Jason's job to judge Jason. It's not my job to judge you where you're at. It's my job to challenge you. I can't make you do what you're supposed to do. I wished I could. Michelle would be a whole lot better person if I could just get her to do. Well, so would Christy Thorne. And I might be a better... I can do something about me, can't I? But no. This is about God's kingdom. And I believe that if we can create an atmosphere here, that God will draw the people, ideals, and resources that we can grow and glorify God in this day and this hour. It's just the law of attraction. It's the law of the law of expectation. You change the way that you think. You raise your level because you manifest scarcity or abundance. I want to get into the abundant thing because I think we need to make a difference for God's kingdom. Amen? Amen. Amen.